And okay, we are recording.
Okay. So we would like to take public comment. Come on.
Good evening. So I'm Jean-François Rebon, the chair of Production Design. I've been here in UNITG for 12 years now. I had the great pleasure to build production design from the ground up and seen, of course, you know, so many changes, you know, through the years in the school, and one of the biggest ones being the executive director position. And I'm here tonight because I'm going to wait one second.
Okay.
I want you guys to be able to hear me with that.
Sorry. Really?
No, I
think we started like a minute earlier.
I think we already.
Sorry.
No, that's cool. I wanted to address the board because I was personally shocked to see that Stacey Smith was not in the final round of the executive director's search. And to find out that a lot of my colleagues, you know, workers at OSA felt the same way. So I wrote a little letter that I will let you read. I didn't bring my glasses, so I actually can't read. But I have 51 signatures here. By employees of OSCE who felt the same way. And the thing that shocked all of us is that we saw what happened with the previous executive director, which is that there was a very intense search, the board decided on what they thought would be the best candidate, and candidate took about a year to understand what OSCE was about, and then, as we know, didn't succeed in the position as he left, you know, last summer. And that's it. We were very shocked because Stacey Smith has 14 years at OSA. She took on the interim executive director position. He's doing so well. He's really reaching out to the community, doing a great job with all the employees at OSA. And we just really, literally, I just don't understand how she could not be part of this, you know, final round of search. So we want you to reconsider, not rush into making a hasty decision. We understand that time is of the essence, it's important to get an executive unit director as early as possible. But we also want you to hear that there are 51 employees who are asking you to reconsider putting Stacey Smith into the final round. Yeah, I'm going to give you the letter. Is that
the one that was emailed around today, or that's a different one?
No, so this is only, we felt, I talked to my colleagues, you know, I wrote the letter, and we all felt strongly that it would be more powerful to not create chaos by having a lot of people maybe being misinformed, you know, and just you to know that the 51 people who signed that letter work here, know Stacey, and have feeling about the two candidates that they've met, you know, because I met the two candidates, of course. And want you to really take your time to reconsider including that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have other public comment?
Has everybody had a chance to sign up for public comment? Would you like to sign up?
I don't have to, but I want to.
No, of course not. I just don't want to whisk it away.
President of the Alliance of Parents and Teachers at OSA. Many of our board members developed a statement, which I'm going to read to you right now. Dear members of the OSA Board, as members of the OSA Alliance of Parents and Teachers Board, we respectfully request you consider the following. The more we reflect on the presentations of the executive director candidates, and the more we speak with parents and teachers who engage with them, the greater our reservations about hiring either of them. While either could probably drive our arts programs and navigate finding new facilities, we're not at all confident that either have the experience or skills to raise the money OSA needs to survive and evolve. With respect to our equity transition, we have even less confidence. While both bring relevant experience with Title I schools, We were appalled at how poorly they responded to questions about race, sexuality, and disability. In place of explicit recognition of the structural inequities and risks faced by Black and Brown students, LGBTQ students, and students with disabilities, and presentation of strategies to protect and support these students, the candidates offered shallow platitudes, personal anecdotes, tone-deaf gaffes, or silence. OSA's transition to equity enrollment holds the potential for positive transformation or disastrous failure. Neither candidate appears qualified to steer OSA to success without substantial institutional support. Neither candidate demonstrated that they had done their homework with respect to the precarious state of our teaching staff. High teacher turnover produced by stagnant compensation, inadequate to rising housing costs, was exacerbated by the top-down dictates of the previous executive director. Our teachers have recently joined a union to collectively organize to protect themselves and negotiate for a better future. When asked about unions, rather than affirm workers' rights to organize, both candidates signaled their negative views of unions as obstacles to be avoided. We can't afford to further alienate and discourage our teachers. While we understand the temptation to hire someone now in order to move forward, we urge you to consider that the wrong choice could send us backward. We have other options. Our first preference is to reopen the search or consider other staffing configurations, making use of the talents and organizational knowledge of our existing staff, augmented by additional staff or consultants to fill the gaps. Should you proceed to hire one of these candidates, we think that Dr. Cuevas had a significant edge with respect to his experience with stakeholder and community engagement and with Latinx and socioeconomically disadvantaged youth, but that he would need substantial institutional support to succeed in implementing OSA's equity goals to support LGBTQ students and students with disabilities, as well as reinforcement to achieve OSA's financial goals. Finally, we urge you to consider improvements to the hiring process. While the recent addition of parent board members to the search committee and candidate presentations are steps in the right direction, other aspects of the process fell short. Social scientists are familiar with the methodological problems of surveys. The choice and framing of questions and the language of response options tend to limit the range of response and can produce misleading conclusions. Many parents reported frustration that the post-presentation survey did not accommodate what they wanted to say about the candidates. It would have been easy to add a 30-minute discussion directly following the presentations to facilitate the free expression of parent feedback. Another problem with the presentations is that parents were not allowed to ask questions directly in their own voice, but were instead told to write questions on index cards. The cards were then selected or excluded by a staff member without consultation with parents or the parent organization. This gatekeeping made the process less democratic and less transparent and skewed candidate responses toward the agenda of the staff member rather than the self-determination of parents to participate on their own terms. We invite you to proactively collaborate with OSA's Alliance of Parents and Teachers in the future and allow us to contribute our considerable organizational expertise to strengthening authentic parent participation and helping to lead OSA to a bright future. Thank you for your consideration. And this was signed by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 officers of the APT. And we sent this to you by email today, so you should have it with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Maury? Thank you.
Hi everyone. I know that you are faced with probably what feel like issues coming at you from all sides. So I don't envy you. And at the same time, I feel like as a parent, as an activist, as someone who values this community and this school, I want to express some concerns. And I hope that it's not true, for instance, that Stacy found out by seeing the announcement about the top two candidates that she was not one of them, that she indeed herself had to ask about that. If that, because if that is held the school up during a very difficult
time. It is not true. I know I'm broken protocol, but we were very careful.
Okay.
Sorry, I won't respond to anyone.
Okay. I'm really glad to hear that. Because I think it's been a difficult road, regardless of whether that happened or not, the position she's been in. So to give the benefit of the doubt that she's been given the respect and integrity she deserves, I appreciate that. I appreciated you making eligibility available to a small group of the APT. It gave us a better idea of the search. But what I would say today is that search did not come up with candidates that community of parents and teachers feel are the leaders that can pick the school up in a time of crisis and move it forward. So I would love to, as an APT board member, kind of support Brad in requesting that the search is reopened and that the search is done differently. I don't think a traditional corporate model of recruitment for a CEO is necessarily what would work for this community. We're not your typical charter school. We don't operate that way, and we want more transparency, and we want more opportunities to be involved, to elect a teacher representative to be on the selection committee, to let a parent, we have Wyleen who's involved, but to be on that committee, to have them sign confidentiality statements. Sometimes it feels like there's so many reasons why it can't just be more transparent, and I think that's what your life is building up for me. I feel disappointed that it seems like it's moving very slowly in terms of responding to the new union, that there's a slow rolling kind of happening, which is going to kind of time out to the end of the year, and then they're going to have to start all over again. And sometimes that's a strategy. I hope that's not a strategy with all of you. I know you have a lot on your plate, but I think if that is happening, we are going to lose even more teachers this year. And I think our kids are already heartbroken how many teachers are leaving the school. So in closing, love to ask you reopen this search and also to move quickly with the union hand in hand. Thank you.
Paulina Gonzalez.
Hi, my name is Paulina Gonzalez Brito. My son is Julian. He's been here since the sixth grade in the instrumental music department. I'm the co-president of the APT along with Brad, and we have some of our members here today. So first I want to say that I care very much about not only parent power, which is one of the core tenets of the equity platform that we put forth this year as part of the charter, but also student power and teacher power. And the engagement that the board engaged in order to find a new leader of the school and the executive director fell far short. We tried to engage in this process very early on, months ago, to be able to help the board ensure that there was real and true and deep engagement of the community. And fortunately, we were not able to really help in that process. For some reason, there seemed to be barriers and obstacles to really engage the alliance of parents and teachers in that process, and we tried to offer our support. We were able to do that very well with the charter process, and this was another opportunity to be able to engage parents in that process, to be able to help to ensure that it was really deep engagement. Note cards in order to be able to ask questions during the ED presentations, or sticky notes to be able to put down your thoughts on a candidate, or surveys just don't cut it. There are other ways to do it. We have ideas that could have been much more successful. I also want to say that equity is a really, is not just a word that somebody puts on a PowerPoint. It means a lot more than that, and it requires deep understanding. So when I heard during the interviews with parents, when I asked the question around disability, my son has a disability, and got not one mention of IEPs or 504s, which is basic compliance, but not one of those candidates mentioned that in their answer. That should just raise red flags right there and then. ADA, which was mentioned, which to me is like the lowest bar you could even have or of understanding of disability. And then when you when the when diversity and inclusion was mentioned, we're talking about a school in East LA for one of the candidates, and 18% was a success of reaching enrollment around the local community. I mean, that is not equity. And so we really need a candidate who can understand equity in its truest meaning. I do want to say the reason I'm talking about equity is because when we talked about the equity platform that made its way into the charter, which with your help was a huge success, this is what the school will be measured on in 5 years by OUSD. So we want a candidate, we want an ED who will help us get there and really understand the concept of equity at its truly understand the concept. Lastly, I will say that as part of the charter, we had affinity groups mentioned, parents of students with disabilities, the APT, parents of students of color, that are explicitly mentioned in the charter as being engaged in the school and with the board and with the leadership. When we think about what engagement means, throughout this whole process, there were opportunities to engage them in a deep level so that it's not just coming to an interview process with the last two finalists, but actually engaging them when we had a broader scope of candidates to be able to get full feedback on some of those candidates and get to the right final candidates. So I will leave it at that, and I hope that you will reopen this process. You have the letter where if we had to choose from the final two, perhaps Dr. Crevis is the best of the final two, but you don't have the best candidates as your two finalists, and hopefully you will reopen the search. Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Lambert.
Since 2008, the year that Obama was elected, without intense back in the day, I remember the feeling on this campus. I remember the community. I remember what it's been like here when we first moved into this building. And I don't think anyone up here does. I know many people are part of this community. And I really want you to think about this community and how it got built up. I am distraught. I am distraught that from everything I could see, the parent voice, the teacher voice has been excluded from this process, truly excluded. I know that there's been one parent board member on here that came on late. I know that you are parents as well, but I feel like that has not been significant enough. And the other two that are new, or perhaps joining soon, have not been a part of it. I think we need to put a pause and get some rushing. You know, we've got so much going on. I know it's impressive that even this many people came to my view of what's going on in the world. And I'm very fearful for what's going to happen to this community if we rush this process. I know that there's some that have leanings to one candidate versus the other. My general sense is there's no one's enthusiastic about either of the candidates. There's no enthusiasm for either candidate. Some people lean one way, some people lean the other, others, but just overall, there's no enthusiasm. I just encourage you to rethink what you're doing, because I've seen this community since 2008, and I know what happens. And I'm very fearful for what I see coming, and I hope you take this very seriously, whatever decision you're planning to make.
Thank you. Jeremy Taylor.
So I just wanted, I agree that there are a lot of considerations that go into this decision, and I don't want to speak to the exclusion of the other ones, but I don't want the fundraising piece to be lost, because I just don't see how we survive if we don't get somebody in here who can raise, can form the new connections, raise large sums of money. Jerry Brown leaving, like, and cost of living going up, it's just a perfect perfect storm of needs around money. And so that's what I was looking for in the candidates. I don't know who the other 78 or whatever were and what their backgrounds were, because we were mostly excluded until the final two. I asked both of them when we had a chance to meet them about their ideas around raising money. One of them seemed to be suggesting a merit pay-based system, which essentially would mean we'll be able to keep some teachers by paying just some of them more and the other ones less. I think that is not a solution that is going to keep the school going. The other one suggested having a dedicated effort towards fundraising, which we already have through our advancement office, so that is not a new idea either. So I left both of those very discouraged that there was going to be any sort of new energy and new ideas coming in about how to tackle that very serious problem. So I think I just kind of agree that we need to go back to the drawing board, and with that particular focus, looking at the available candidates and trying to find somebody who can fill that, because we don't need somebody to come in with ideas about instructional innovation, because that's not what an ED should be doing. A lot of different moving parts at the upper levels of administration. The unique thing for an ED is to sustain the school by being the face of the school out there in the community, meeting people, forming those connections, getting people excited about giving money to the school. And I think that's got to be top of the list when we do these searches. And I think that a longer process with that in mind and more opportunities for the community to meet some of the candidates us to where we need to be.
Thank you. Ty?
Hi there. I'm a student. I'm in the 10th grade in vocal music. I don't represent all students when I'm saying this, but I just wanted to say, I know a few people have said this already, but like considering the equity issues, I kind of also wasn't impressed at all with either the candidates in terms of their language and things like that in terms of LGBTQ students' issues and disability rights issues, and I was particularly unimpressed with Lisa's expertise in terms of the area of like racial equity and stuff like that. I saw that she faced almost the exact same challenge that we did with her school, with Laksha, and that then she kind of had that approach that I think we were wanting to take earlier, and the numbers just like were nothing that we need at this moment, and that was a little disappointing to see. And so I think either of them would need like a little too much hand holding, and a little like we kind of don't have the candidates with that like real expertise. I would say that Tony is a lot stronger because of his dedication to equity in terms of his entire life. I think teaching in prisons and getting your doctorate in education and things like that are really like strong indicators of kind of a purpose in that area. But mostly I know that there's almost no perfect solution in this area, and it's probably been a really, really hard process for you all to like make this decision. I'm Wailing's daughter, so seeing her kind of like up late at night, like watching all of the videos and reading all of the documents, she was, she had to do a lot of homework, and so I know that it was a lot of work. But I do also want to reiterate from a student's perspective that I felt extremely unrepresented in the process as well, and that I personally don't know the perfect answers in a way to engage the student community, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that students actually aren't 100% sure what they want in an executive director, or even that we were looking for an executive director. I still get questions like 3 times a week about, wait, we're changing the audition process? Like, when did that happen? Why is that happening? Like, what are the actual details of that? There's just been so much misinformation and rumors and lack of information and things like that, and it's improved since last year and years before. We're getting emails now, that's pretty cool, but I would like to see somebody come into classrooms and say, here's what's been happening with our school in the last year, here's what was happening with the charter renewal, here are the equity issues we're facing right now, here are the financial issues we're facing right now, what do you want to see, how do you want to be involved in this conversation, and at least ask students, even if we don't know, give them the information so that they're armed with that power I know it's a little late in the process now to kind of change what we've done in the past, but just I invite you in the future with big decisions like this to look to your student community, because you're the ones, I mean, we are the ones that are being affected by these decisions, and you know, we would like to be in the loop if we even knew that there was a loop to be in. So
thank you.
Andrew?
Thank you. I am a teacher of visual art. I've been here 13 years. I just wanted to say thank you for your hard work. I know that this is not easy. I know that you guys are putting in extra hours as well with everything else going on. I appreciate it. I just urge you to reopen the process or to at least not rush into a decision. I've been here, I've seen three directors, four if you count Stacy, since I've been here. And this is the smoothest that the school's run in the current iteration that we have. I know that we've got a lot of things to work out, and I'm willing to hear, you know, what we need in a director, but I will say that things are pretty stable here. As stable as it could be in a given situation. I don't think that we would be even having this discussion if the candidates that we saw had impressed us the way we felt like they should for our special school. Personally, I feel like as a school, I've said this before, we're a custom made school, we're a handmade school. Everything that we've done has come from the ground up. If we tie ourselves to a model that is a corporate charter school model, I think we're gonna be in trouble. I think if we tie ourselves to the public school model, we're gonna probably be in trouble too. I think whatever our director is has to understand that we are neither of those things. We are very special, and I do appreciate the fact that she called us a gem. I think we are a gem. I think that people recognize that, and I think that we deserve a director who you know, knows how special we are. We currently have one that at least succeeds in that category. I applaud you guys for asking for more input. I think that the idea of going to the people and getting surveys is really great. I think we can expand that, and we should probably do that in the process. I will suggest that if the last three directors we got were using the same process or the same company to get these people, I might suggest that this might not be the right way for us to go about it anymore. Perhaps the money, I know, costs money. I know that we're probably not even paying the kind of money we need to get the people we get here, but perhaps that money could be better spent or not spent at all. And I like the suggestions of ideas of, you know, supporting whoever is our director, using that money for education or consultation or something like that. I'm not sure that throwing more money at a company who's delivering these kind of candidates to us is a good use of our funds. Let's see. That's about it. Please consider this. Consider that the people care deeply for this, and that we're behind the decisions you make, but we want to feel like, you know, we're in this together. Thank you.
For a large group of alumni who feel, for the most part, disconnected from what we saw as our home. I would say, as Ms. Young has said, has been a unique experience for everyone that's attended here, and especially for the people from the class of 2006 to 2012. A lot of what OSA is right now comes from our origins, and we, as an alumni, would like to be a part of that development, the evolution of I've been in contact and have seen in our social circles some concerns from our alumni, the communication or lack of communication on the development of the school. We are placed all over the world right now, from Oakland all the way to Japan, and we still feel a connection to Oakland School for the Arts, but we feel like there is a disconnect. Now with the subject of an executive director change again happening without our full understanding, and even I'm out of place in that information, I'm coming in with the suggestion of having alumni liaisons to help with this process. We know OSA the best because we went through the production of what made Oakland School for the Arts successful in this building, in the tents, even before the tents. We have such passion for the future of the students and how we see our alma mater. We want to be a part of the process, even if we aren't compensated for it. In particular, I'm also coming to express some concern over the representation of students that have passed that are alumni. Most recently, we lost a class of 2012 classmate, Chameleon Brendan Foster, and some of my former classmates came to the campus to show their tributes. Their tributes were distributed or thrown away very quickly afterwards, and there were major concerns as to why that happened. There was also a suggestion made by our former president, Ashe Clark, about creating a tribute placard or just some kind of history keeper in the campus to represent many kids who have died that were our classmates, our friends, our brethren. Just having alumni present and making them feel welcome to be a part of the OSA growth process, we would appreciate that. We would appreciate the communication. We would appreciate the establishment of alumni being part of OSA because, again, we helped create this school. And I am here. I'm still in the Bay Area if you'd like to contact me.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes public comment. We went slightly out of order because we didn't have a quorum yet. But there's Diane. So I'm going to call this meeting officially, well, to order and do roll call. Mike Barr.
Here.
Steve Borg.
Here.
Lee Starwish. Jonathan Dharmapalin.
Here.
Wei-Ling. Carol. Leon.
Here.
Melissa. Dr. Diane Woods. We have established a quorum. We can now do video without having put the place where Diane is because of the executive order last night. So we are in compliance with Brown Act. We did public comment. We do not have a super majority, so we can't do the bylaws update.
I'm not sure who owns sort of the bylaw update, but it would be great to get a redline version. What I got was a PDF that had the changes already incorporated, so does somebody on the board?
Sure, before we do that, before we bring this forward, we'll do a redline. And we don't have, is there a student? A student report? We don't have it on the agenda. Yeah. There doesn't have to be, because it's not a regular meeting.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to say anything. We'll put it under public comment.
Okay, thank you. I think I've had many conversations with students around specifically the ED search between either candidates of Tony and Lisa, and essentially what I, like I'm saying, as Todd said, I'm not the voice of all students, but with the students that I did speak of, mainly students that are underrepresented at OSA, is that we have to go back to the morals of the school. And that the main factor is we can bring in as many students of color as we want, but when you have an admin and a faculty that's not representing that, students can feel not only underrepresented, but feel like they have to represent themselves. They do not feel that the teachers are taking charge in that process. Beyond that, I think that's something to consider with ED search. It's just the factor of morals and what do we stand on as a school at OSA.
Thank you. Okay, we have one new board member here that we need to vote on. Josefina and I can't Alvarado Mena is one of the parent representatives to be voted on. So there are three voting seats on the OSA Board of Director for parents and current OSA, and Leon, our current OSA student, to become a director. Who will adhere to the job description for the role. I'd like to nominate Josefina
as to fulfill this position.
Second that.
Can I discuss something?
Yeah.
Because I thought we were going by order of bylaws first.
We can't do the bylaws.
I understand
yeah.
that. So the way I understood this is that we're putting in bylaws to be able to bring the pair of representatives on to the board, right? That's the intent of the modification of the bylaws. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just so you know, I've had the privilege now of spending some time with the two additional board members we're talking about being on the board, and I think they're going to be terrific. Clear on that. They're going to be terrific. They bring very, very special skills, unique skills to the board, and they're going to, I think, make this a much more robust and capable board, and we need this kind of talent on the board, and I will go on the record if we are taking minutes of saying that. But I also want to be a little bit conscious of our governance. And we really do need to get those bylaws bypassing the fundamental rules of how we are supposed to operate as a board and as a governance body, in the long run, could set a precedent that we don't want to have to deal with. And I think we've discussed this the last time, but you know, we wanted those bylaws polished up, we wanted the governance subcommittee to bring it to the board, we wanted the legal representatives to look at it, so we are on solid ground, and we are keeping with what we committed to in the charter. This is all really important stuff. I would love to have Josefina on the board as soon as possible. I've talked to Jason, who's the other member who's been recommended to be on the board. But I also think that we've got to get the things done in the right order. I have no problem, of course, bring this up, but I think as a board we need to discuss. Process is process, and we are bound by the process, and the regulations that govern us as a board are the bylaws.
Yes.
And
so I want to echo that the issue for those of you trying to drag, our bylaws don't currently say that we have parent representatives. We haven't amended them yet to allow them. We are going to do that. We just don't have this. We need 2/3 of the board to be here to do so. So concern, I think John's voicing is we're taking an action before we're technically allowed to have a parent representative. However, I have a suggestion. We have unfilled seats of regular directors. So we could ask Josefina to join as a director at this meeting and then redesignate her as the parent representative at a subsequent meeting after the bylaws have been passed. That's basically what we did with Wei Ling.
Right. I just want, you know, I want everybody to know this, that this is not to be replayed back in public comment that that's dragging our feet or whatever it is that it sometimes comes out in public comment.
Yeah,
I
think it's a capacity issue. This board has been at capacity dealing with the charter renewal and the ED search and preparing for the discussions with the faculty representatives. And I'd like to echo a concern that I think we're violating our own processes, and that bylaw changes are really serious business, and we've not fully vetted them, we've not had legal review. We've said we were going to get this done earlier. I said I was going to get it done earlier, but we've had capacity issues as it relates to the ED search, and that is the priority, and that is the most important function of the board, is to find and hire an ED. So I'm growing increasingly uncomfortable with adding members that can't be accommodated based on our current bylaws. I think Wei Ling has been an excellent addition. I've enjoyed working with her, but we have to have some clarity and parameters around what the role of a parent representative on the board is, and we don't have that. I've reviewed the resumes of Jason and Josefina, very impressive. I hope I will be able to meet with them soon. If they were going to be coming on as regular board members, I'd have less of an issue. But we have not defined what it means to be a parent representative on this board. So I'm uncomfortable doing that at this time.
What about
Mike?
It's a board
representative.
There's no business.
So don't answer. We're
no comments from the audience, please.
So
we're going to hear it.
Do you, Diane, do you want to, I don't know if you can, you can hear and everything, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
I just want to make sure you can participate if you want to.
Well, you know, I will say that we do have a capacity issue, and we've been underrepresented and not able to vote, unfortunately, on certain things. We have two candidates who are extraordinarily strong, and so that's not the issue, that's not an issue, but it's a process issue. So I do wonder if we can, let's see, that was on you because my dog is, I just wonder if we can kind of acknowledge, take a vote on parent board members, and then with the caveat that we, that they are, they come to the board once we pass the bylaws. It should be next month, I believe, see, but I'm not quite sure. Someone has to give me feedback on that.
So here's the challenge. We were supposed to bring them in December, and we were not able to bring them in December because we couldn't get them fully vetted. And so I did a quick change of them in for our February meeting, and we didn't have enough people. And so now we're at our March meeting, and we don't have enough people. And so it is, I'm concerned we're never going to have enough people.
No, I'm also concerned. I'm also absolutely concerned. But there is a reason why there is a requirement that there that certain number of board members are present and vote for the bylaws.
We need and more members.
And so we need to get that number of board members here. If we go around that process and we say, okay, we can't get the board members here to vote on it, so we're going to work around the process, then we're actually working around our own rules. And that's my concern. It is, and Josephina, since you're sitting here, it is in no way trying to delay the process. And then, of course, we push around the process once with mailing, which is fine. We are trying to get this done because we want to accommodate the community. But we do have rules. We have limits.
We've been told for 6 months.
So what about, what about Mike's suggestion? We're just going to keep on talking. What about Mike's suggestion that we bring it on with a contingency? With the caveat.
As long as it is not an attempt to just bypass our own rules.
I don't think it was a contingency. I think what I heard is you suggest that we bring on the new board members as regular board.
Until the bylaws allow parent representatives and redesignate them as parent representatives at that time. The other thing that we need to talk about is the draft of the language, and what we talked about is the parent representatives would be 1 year term, and I wouldn't want Josefina to get shorted because she's joining now. So we may want to think about one full school year. We can talk about that. That's my suggestion, because we do have room to add additional board members. We can do that right now.
I voice my concern. My concern is not about the individuals, because I'm 100% supportive. I'm going to cast my vote now for it. I just want us to be clear that we are not deliberately bypassing the very rules that govern the behavior of this board. Because if we stop that now, we'll just keep doing it.
I think it's a fair criticism.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's a very fair concern.
Yes.
I think ideally the bylaws would have been done the meeting after the charter votes. I absolutely think it is a fair concern. I think the worry is that someone will go rogue. I mean, worst case scenario, someone will go rogue, a different board chair, or me, if you think I'm going rogue, and do a bunch of stuff without the bylaws reflecting.
Yes. Then say we're going to come back and change the bylaws later to reflect whatever it is we've done.
Yeah.
Exist for a reason.
I'm only suggesting what I'm suggesting because we already actually have a draft of the bylaws, and we've expressed the intent, we've agreed to the intent to bring parent representatives in to get a parent voice here. So I wouldn't do it if it were doing something different. This is not the RPAC in the court. This is just trying to find a way to get that voice here as soon as we can. And if we get the more board members we get, and the more they attend, the more likely they're going to have a fucking two-third majority.
Right.
Yeah.
I do have a question.
Okay.
But my question is that if the parents do come on as board members, will they be a part of that two-thirds majority?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know I can't vote, but if we can get the parents on here as board members to get the two-thirds majority to change the bylaws to be in compliance with the rules that govern the board, I'd say we should get them on as board members.
Diane, did you want to say something?
No, not really. I'm wary, but I think we have to move. If we needed to move, we need to make it happen. So if we do a workaround. The other thought is that the Brown Act has been modified, effective yesterday, by our governor. So would it be possible to do a meeting where we can pull more people in via Zoom to work on the bylaws? I mean, can we call a special meeting or do something?
Well, we have a meeting on the 25th scheduled. I think it is likely we would be able to get more people with the use of teleconferences.
Yes.
But that goes back to capacity around revising the bylaws, having them reviewed.
Well, it also depends what comes out of closed session.
Right. Okay, what other discussion do we want to have? Or are we ready to vote? I'm amending that the vote be that Josefina would be a regular board member.
Yes, within.
Period.
Within, well.
No, a regular board member.
That changes my vote. I mean, no disrespect, but if it's worded that she becomes a regular board member until our bylaws allow for parent representatives, expected to happen, you know, within 60 days, 30 days, 2 weeks, whatever, then she would be one of the parent representatives, as with Whiteley.
Is there anything we need to do or we can do around the, or we need to get in the records around the bylaws not reflecting yet?
I don't think so, because we're taking action the bylaws allow us to take, which is to add a board member. And we have the right to stipulate.
And yes, it just
it doesn't say we can't stipulate something like that. We have the right to remove a board member.
As long as we get it minuted.
As long as we get it what?
As long as your proposition is minuted and sign off on the minutes, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just want us to be careful.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm the compliance guy, right? I'm the compliance guy.
Is Josefina okay with this?
Yes, I would be okay with this.
Okay, great.
And
okay.
I just wanted to say that I'm also a lawyer, and I would be happy to work on the bylaws if I'm elected to the board today. So, you know, to help facilitate this process, I have, you know, 25 years of management experience and a lot of other nonprofit sector, so I would.
Okay, are we ready to vote?
Yes.
What is the motion we're voting?
Can you repeat it, Mike?
The motion is to elect Josefina as a regular board member with an understanding that once our bylaws are amended to allow for parent representation, we designate a parent representative at that time.
And for the clock to stop at that time, we'll run here. I think you
mentioned those. Yeah, we may want to leave them.
Yeah,
I don't want to make that part of this amendment because I want to give ourselves more flexibility on that. It's, my expectation would be the rest of this year and next year.
And that's a bylaws thing again. So
yeah.
Trying to stay away from this. Okay.
So that's my motion.
Clarification. Clarifying the motion. Motion is to elect Josefina as a regular board member with the understanding that once the bylaws are updated, she will fall under the criteria of a parent board member. Is that correct? Thank you.
Do we want to, let's do a roll call vote.
We need a second.
Okay, second. Mike Barr?
Yes.
Steve Borg?
Yes.
Elise Starwish? Yes. Jonathan Darmacullin?
Yes.
Diane Woods? Okay. Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
I'm not moving things away from you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I now move we
Just to clarify, this agenda item, is there timing for other parent representative and other folks that are in the mix for potential board?
We have three other potential board members. They couldn't make it tonight. My worry with voting them in tonight was that made our numbers even bigger and even harder to get a quorum in 2/3. So as soon as they can come, we have three more board members to vote in. I've also talked to them, all of them, about all of the items today. So I've gotten informal input from all of them. Okay. Oh, I have one more change to the agenda. In closed session, we'd like to do the labor negotiations before the public hiring. Can I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Okay, and now I'm going to turn us into closed session. We need a motion on that, Mike.
Sure. I move we move to closed session.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, we'll go into closed session and we will report out afterwards.
You taking Diane on a tour with us, or are you telling us?
I'll just leave the link open. I have my hotspot, so it should be.
The head of U.S. soccer resigned. The guy that made those dumbass comments about the women's soccer team, did you see that?
I saw the dumb comments, I didn't know what he was
saying. He just did. He implied that the women don't work as hard as men. It's not an equal amount of work.
Can we come back? I'll keep all the
I just learned you work at the Starbucks on my grant. I'm going to come there every chance I get.
Really? Yes. I've been there for 8 months.
I took one of the candidates over to Tertulia.
Yes.
I had a 4:30 to 5:30 appointment with him, and that place closed at 5.
I was about to say, yeah.
I was going to walk over, but it was a little weird. Tony had to his hotel.
Good luck.
At some point, looks either intentional or why are you on the board if you're not going to come with
me? Red Lincoln's a chief.
No, I know about her.
She's a female, so that's different, but.
It was just so weird from out there because, like, we all know that he's a female. And the way they were talking about it just made it sound like there was, like, how you can't vote. Like, that there's some sort of tiered, like, you're not quite a vote. They have all the same equal rights.
Yes. Okay. It's just hand short representation in shorter.
Okay.
That's as far as I remember. I really vote. I'm gonna write a list. Well, I'm gonna talk to her after this. I'm like, you can't sit on this table and you're not because you want the public comment and not. I'm sorry. Have some conversation. It's essentially like, at least they go out of. contingency was to
say hi
to Reverend Maury. But we need to have some kind of conversation around this. You can't have your public comment be that even if you don't have a conversation about it.
And I don't like this. It's something I just don't know. No matter how, like, they turn out to be great. So if you're going to come in, which seems to be that says, well, it's resistant, they won't.
Because we're going from the inside. Trust. For me, it makes sense. He was not here for that.
I probably,
yeah. Mr. Taylor, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what y'all going to do. I'm not going to do it. I'm graduating. I'm going to Dallas, Texas. Until like what, April? I already know it.
You.
I'm like,
you're gonna be a little swear on my computer screen.
Literally, like, because they're like SUSD, they did. Lita shut down. I said that. I'm like, USD is bound to do it. I'm sorry. And apparently, we're following with USD, so.
And
for that, God, Mr. Taylor, you have a good night if you're leaving. I'm waiting for you.
They couldn't even give us like a 9 o'clock start time tomorrow either. It's like 8:15, just like usual.
No, literally.
Throw your day out.
Right. I'm like, there's still not enough.